You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, we are back, and on the line, we're hopefully going to be joined in just a moment by Dr. or Pastor Watson, and we'll be discussing today's topic. Hello, Pastor. Greetings, Pastor Watson. Can you hear me?
Greetings. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
No, we are doing great. We hope you are doing well.
Oh, yes, yes. I've locked in some meeting and so on. I remember that it's time to be on Adventist World Radio. Greetings to all our listeners out there.
Well, thank you so much for stepping out and being on our show with us today just to discuss, the closing or coming to the close of our conversation in terms of barrenness this week.
That's right, that's right. We just want to thank the Lord for the privilege to share insight.
Right, right. And essentially, just before you came on, I was telling our listeners that, for individuals or couples facing barrenness, some of the scriptures that we're going to be going through today are to help with strength and hope and comfort, and basically to convey that God understands the pain that many couples or individuals may be going through right now. So we're just going to look at the promise in Jeremiah 29 verses 11, which starts off by saying, I know the plans that I have for you, not to prosper you, not to harm you, and so forth and so on and so on. Apologies. This provides a sense of assurance, essentially, and hope for those facing barrenness. How does the belief in God's overreaching plan of influence, or rather, how does his overreaching plan for us influence one's perspective on situations such as barrenness?
God's promises and the assurance that you will always be there with us, he helps us to keep grounded and oriented in a world where we may face experiences or situations that can disorient us, and we lose our bearings, our focus on God. So, for example, you've brought a great text. You've pointed us to a great text, which is Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you peace and an expected end. When you look into the context in which these words were said, this is actually a line from a letter that was written by Jeremiah, as directed by God, to the people of Judah, who have now been taken into exile in Babylon. Mm. As far as they were concerned, their world had been turned upside down. They had so many questions. Does God care? Is God all still powerful? Has he been overcome by Marduk, the god of Babylon? What has happened? Their world had been shattered and turned upside down, inside out. They were completely disoriented. So we face such situations, and it is in such a situation that God sends a message and says, I know what you're going through, and I care, and I know what I'm doing. You may not understand, but believe you me, I have everything under control.
Right.
So this is very important, in that sometimes, you look at your siblings, maybe they're already married and you're not, they have children and you don't have, things like that. Some will, you have children, but then you say, I only have girls or I only have boys, all these kind of things. These are situations that disturb us as humans. But to know that God is in control and his promises are true, it helps us to not to make wrong decisions, wrong choices, and things like that. Someone would then say, well, let me look for another lady, if this is a man, so that I can have a child. Or let me look for another guy, or things like that. God's promises keep us grounded.
Right. So from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we're getting the sense of being grounded in what God says. And then looking at Isaiah 40, verses 31, which says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. they will walk and not be faint. Essentially, to discuss this concept of waiting on the Lord and drawing strength from Him, how can this promise be a source of encouragement during a challenging journey such as barrenness?
Yeah, you know, it's this passage of scripture paints pictures. In fact, this is a conclusion to a long discourse that God has with the people of Judah, who felt like they were neglected, they were abandoned, maybe they need to look elsewhere. They felt like they were a footnote on the page of history. The ones who were making the headlines were like Babylon, Assyria, and Egypt. They felt like they were just in the backwater there. They were inconsequential. And so they were tempted to leave God and align with some of these superpowers of their time. And God says, no, just trust me, just wait on me. So this helps us so that we do not look for false alternatives to just having our faith and our hope and our trust in God. When I say false alternatives, I don't mean that we should not look for interventions to situations such as barrenness, but I simply mean things that would be contrary to God's own word, going against God. For example, a guy who would then say, because I've not had a child in this home, I'm going to look for another lady out there. You know, that is a false alternative that you're now going into. You know, so it's things like those which the people of Judah were now beginning to entertain and toy within their minds. And God says, no, 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 those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God will come through for them. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will never grow faint. So you can align with whoever, but there is nothing compared to waiting on God and waiting for God's time and just knowing that God is there with you. This is the assurance or the promise that we have here in Isaiah chapter.
In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 31. And with that, you know, like reassurance, we're also given more promises in Psalms 34, verses 17 to 18, which reads thus, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And essentially, this speaks to the closeness that God has to those who are brokenhearted or are going through this kind of pain of feeling the emptiness of not being able to either bear a child or have a child. How can this assurance of God's nearness bring comfort to individuals or couples facing barrenness?
You know, this is so beautiful because it speaks to, you know, some of the qualities or, I mean, attributes, characteristics of God. His immanence, that is how God is close to us, such that when Jesus was born, the angel said to Mary, "We shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. He is God with us in our pain, in our suffering, in our joy, in our sorrows. He is God who really identifies with us. So to know that when we grieve or when we are hurting because of a situation such as barrenness, God is so close to us that if the curtain would be taken off and would be allowed to see the invisible, we would be amazed to see how close God and God's angels are, you know, to us. So there's a songwriter who has got this line that I like so much in their song. And it says that God weeps along with man and he takes them by the hand. Tears are a language that God understands. He really understands more than anybody else. He really understands what we struggle with. And you know, believe you me, we are not the first ones to face challenges and struggles and so on, which is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, this number is, should be around number 30, where it talks about that God Okay, let me just look at that text, chapter 10. And it talks about here, about God's faithfulness, that no temptation or no challenge is overtaken us, except such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure in His strength or in His power. So what is simply telling us, God is saying, yes, I know the pain, I know the hurt. And sometimes, you know, the pain comes from the words that are said by people around. It could be in families and so on. Like Hannah, the words that were said to her by family member Penina, they didn't make a situation easy.
Right.
And sometimes you were accepted as a person that I had wanted to have a child, but I've not had for reasons best known to God. And you've accepted. But sometimes it is people around us who will say words that can be so hurtful, the aunties, the uncles, friends or colleagues, or, you know, even
church members.
Yeah, people can say words that can be deeply, you know, hurtful. That can be hurtful.
Yeah, I think, like, we also need to be cognizant of such things as, like, members of the church or communities that, like, you know, mind your own business.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, sometimes we do it so innocently, and maybe we actually mean well.
Yeah.
When are you going to, you don't have a baby still. I mean, you guys, I mean, why, you know, those kind of remarks. Sometimes we're just, but maybe you have the 2017 person saying this same thing to this person.
Right.
The cumulative effect can then begin to wear someone down.
Truly.
You are just one person. You know, when rain falls, it is just tiny drops. But those tiny drops, when they are many, they can create a flood, which can cause so much destruction. So sometimes it's those, so we, like you rightly said, you know, Kirsty, it's very important that we should be very careful, we should be well guarded in the kind of questions we ask, the remarks we pass, and things like that, because you may, your words may just be the straw that breaks the camel's back. This is very sensitive. We should not, you know, say them carelessly.
And I guess if we fail as humans, because we often do, then you can rely on your shepherd, which is, you know, this imagery that we explore in Psalms 23, where God is portrayed as a shepherd providing comfort and guidance. How does this psalm offer solace amidst this uncertainty and sorrow, or perhaps just that random comment that you get every Sabbath day, or whatever the case may be?
You know, the it's only that many of us really grow up totally removed to this pastoral experience, the experience of being a headman or a shepherd or someone who's looking after sheep or livestock in general. We only, for many people, the only encounter they have is when they're eating beef or, you know, mutton or whatever. That's the only encounter they have with the livestock. But the when David talks about the Lord being our shepherd, he's talking about someone who knows you intimately, who knows you personally. What I can simply say is that, yeah, God is not a general practitioner when it comes to any of his children. He is a specialist. He actually knows each one of us by our needs, by our circumstances. And so that's so comforting to know that when God looks at the church, when God looks at his people, he's not just seeing a crowd. He's seeing individuals, and he knows even the pain, he knows the burdens that we carry, and he knows the, you know, the fears, the anxieties, the doubts, the hurts that we carry, the burdens. And so God is not a general practitioner. He's a specialist. When it comes to you and to your case and to your situation. So there's nothing that is going to happen to any of God's children without his knowledge, and if he has not approved and provided the strength for me to be able to carry this through. But even though the strength is provided, it doesn't mean that it will not be painful or that it will be easy. It can still be hard and hurt.
It can
hurt, but still, this comforting presence will always be there with us.
And I think, like, we can then coincide that with, you know, Psalms 30 verses 5, which says, you know, it has a whole beginning section. I can read that for us just for now. For his anger lasts only for a moment, which is not necessarily, like, imperative right now. But if you rephrase it, your anger may last for a moment. Weeping may last for a night, but rejoicing will come in the morning. And how this, you know, offers some kind of perspective of eventual joy and rejoicing through a period of sorrow. You can also elaborate more on that if you'd like.
Yeah, that's right. So number one, this basically God's word is telling us that God's children are not immunized from pain and suffering. They also experience the hard realities and harsh experiences of life. So they are not immunized simply by being, by accepting to be a child of God, to be baptized. That means we have gotten rid of the challenges. We still do face them. But the difference is with whom we face them. It is now with him by our side and in his strength. And then the assurance that our pain and suffering will not have the final say. God will have the final say. That is why there is that metaphor of the night and the pain and the struggles of the night, but then joy coming with daybreak. So in other words, whatever it is that you are going through, these two shall pass. It will pass. And one day, there's a rejoicing. There's a celebration of God coming through for his children. So this is meant, this is a message that is relevant for someone who's actually going through difficulties. And that preposition through, you know, in some places, when David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the preposition through already presupposes that there's another side. There is a different side. And so we will not go over or round or under, but sometimes God allows us to go through. But that through implies that there is another side. We'll go through the night, but there will be a morning. That represents, you know, new experience, a new dawn. Happiness.
And also, just to finally, like, bring our conversation to a close for today, discussing the significance of God's unfailing love and faithfulness as highlighted in Lamentations 3 verses 22 to 23, which I will read. It says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verses 20. Well, that was number 23. I skipped one. Let's start again from 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And essentially, Pastor, how can this assurance be a source of encouragement during this time of barrenness on a daily, constant basis?
That's right. You know, when you look in the context, lamentation, this is really someone who is grieving the loss of the kingdom of Judah, the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the city, and all the institutions that identified them as a people, defined them as a people. Now they're in slavery and things like that. But even in a difficult situation, the writer still sees God's love shining through. And he says here, basically to borrow from Dorothy Rambo's song, he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, maybe I should be this kind of person so that God will be kind or be gracious to me. Maybe I should join the choir. Maybe, oh, okay, all those things are good things. But God's love is stronger than your faults. or your limitations and your shortcomings, but it's far greater. It exceeds our guilt. It exceeds our frailty, as you know, our human frailties. So we have assurance in this passage that it is not about doing this or that. God loves you for being you. Just the fact that you are you, before you do anything, He loves you. So this is just an assurance that God's love is so great. He's not angry. Sometimes when we experience difficulties, we think that maybe God is angry. Maybe because I did this. Maybe because I didn't do that. We have assurance that God loves us. Whether we have children or we don't, God loves us. Or maybe not yet, but God loves us still, whatever our circumstance.
Well, you know, I think I couldn't have said it any better. If it wasn't for the Lord who's giving us all these constant promises, of which I myself have not experienced barrenness, but I do hope that in some way this has comforted those who feel as though God has forgotten them or has left them in a place of not knowing. But there are so many scriptures that are out there and that are there to encourage us on a daily basis. But thank you, Pastor Watson, for joining us on the line to discuss this. We'll be wrapping up our conversation tomorrow. But until then, have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, and great day to all AWR listeners out there. Blessings.
Blessings to you, too. Thank you, Pastor.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was our pastor/Dr. Watson, if you will, on the line, speaking to us all the way from Zimbabwe to discuss this conversation on barrenness. And we have been discussing it the entire week. So if you've missed out on the conversation, remember you can catch them on our podcast on the AWR app, as well as on the AWR SID Media website. But as for right now, we're going to take a quick interval. When we come back, we'll be getting into our devotional series with Pastor Meshek. We are going to be looking at the confidence of God, or confidence in God's grace, rather. And once again, looking at Psalms 23. And I believe we'll be going into the next verse today. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.